Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday, the 16th day in April of 2024. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through your Tuesday. We're going to start with something you need to do if you use Palo Alto's Global Protect VPN. Global Protect is a very popular VPN, and Palo Alto disclosed last week that there was a zero-day flaw. Zero-day means that researchers usually find this flaw because someone's exploiting it, meaning someone is attacking Global Protect devices. The flaw, tracked as CVE-2024-3400, doesn't have a ton of details, but Palo Alto says that by abusing this flaw, criminals can take control of, gain access to your network via any exposed Global Protect appliances. So head over to Palo Alto's website to check if you have a vulnerable version or configuration, because again, attacks have been ongoing since the 26th of March, and as of today, there is a patch available. So if you don't want to be the next victim of criminals exploiting your VPN, go ahead and patch it now to help protect yourself. We're going to move on to a criminal that is using a really interesting technique based on a really old flaw. Steganography is not new. It involves hiding code inside of images. And in this technique, there's a hacking group tracked as TA, or Threat Actor 558, and they are using something called Steganoarmor. Now, the campaign is called Steganoarmor because it uses steganography inside of Word documents, and via phishing, users, if they open up a document, there is a triggered flaw from 2017 that loads a VBS script that is hidden inside of the associated document via steganography. This actually works. It's worked in over 300 plus cases, and it deploys a variety of malware, including Agent Tesla, Formbook, Remcos, LokiBot, and others. These malware typically will enable either the deployers of those malware to sell their access or to conduct attacks like data theft or ransomware. Bottom line is that 2017 flaws still work in at least over 300 known and documented cases. Steganography is used. So when you hear about this fancy term and think, oh, surely that's only super crazy cases. Nope, it's a widespread campaign. And that matters because you need to make sure that you're using a current version of Microsoft Office. Again, this comes via an attack against Office documents. Many people use older versions of Office for a variety of reasons, including cost savings. They just like the way it feels. Or they're in developing countries where they only have older versions, and that's a problem. So use the latest version of Microsoft Office so that you are immune from this 2017 exploited attack. We're going to continue with an attack. Cisco is saying that one of the providers that it uses, in its firm called Duo, to send multi-factor authentication messages was breached by a threat actor on April 1st. Duo is a great technology that Cisco purchased and operates that allows users to receive multi-factor authentications via their telephone. Unfortunately, the telephony provider that Duo uses was breached. The provider's employees' credentials were illicitly, quote, obtained through a phishing attack and used to download SMS text messages pertaining to users' Duo accounts. Now, Cisco did provide a message to impacted customers, so if you were a victim, you should be hearing from Cisco Duo shortly if you haven't already. But Cisco did not respond as far as any comments about how many people were affected or which provider Duo uses, or how that provider was originally breached, beyond saying that it was a phishing attack that a threat actor conducted. So we don't know who was behind the attack. We just know that MFA provider Cisco Duo was compromised. And that's alarming because you use products like Cisco Duo to add security. And in this case, Criminals took advantage of that, and it could impact up to 40,000, that's the number of Cisco Duo customers. So while it appears that those impacted were less than 40,000, its potential to reach that far does exist. And if you use Cisco Duo and you have heard, go ahead and follow all of the recommendations that Cisco has to help keep you safe moving forward. We're going to end today in Ukraine, where hackers have stolen data. Hackers conducted an attack. We don't know exactly when this hack took place, but the hackers stole over 100 gigabytes from a Russian UAV firm known as Albatross. The Albatross is a company in Russia that produces UAVs, and it was sanctioned by the United States some time back. Now, we don't know when the attack took place because the data was verified by a quasi-third party, Inform Napalm, who said that most of this data was legitimate. It included internal, technical, and UAV-specific data related to Albatross. Very relevant for Ukraine because UAVs are playing a very prominent part in the ongoing conflict there between Russia and Ukraine. Now, what's interesting about the reporting on this is that not all the data was available because, quote, the Ukrainian government has been using it for some months, meaning that hackers must have allegedly stolen the data some months ago, or the data they stole included Ukrainian data. It's unclear which of those scenarios is true. But what's interesting about the data stolen is that it does show a relationship between the Russian Albatross company and Iran, whose UAVs and drones were used by Russia to attack Ukraine. And it demonstrates the ongoing relationship from a military support perspective that Russia and Iran have together. Now, this is obviously something that Ukrainian government officials would want to know, and so here we see an example of hacking, this case by hacktivists, that are stealing data that is relevant directly to the needs of the Ukrainian government. So when we think about hacking and how it is bad, just know that in this case, the Ukrainian government is doing it to support their war efforts, and a lot of people are okay with it because Albatross, again, was a sanctioned company. And so them filing any kind of suit against Ukraine would likely have little merit in an international court, or a court in the United States for sure. And so we see this unique dynamic where we say hacking is bad, but in this case it's generally going to be widely accepted depending on your point of view. And at the end of the day, Ukraine knows more about Russia's UAV program than it did months ago. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding Tuesday. It's going to be a great week, so stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a scientist. Avi Wijdersen is a Princeton alum and has received the Turing Award from the Association of Computing and Machinery. Avi received this award as, quote, one of the most central people in theoretical computer science, best known for his work on computational complexity theory, especially as it pertains to the role of randomness in computation. His work is crucial for moving the world of computer science and technology forward. And so to you, Avi, a sincere tip of the cap for a most well-earned Nobel-like prize in the Turing Award. And please, keep on computing.